Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here today for the Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It's Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022. As it's Wednesday, reminder, we have divine service tonight at 7 p.m. We will be recognizing, observing the Feast of the Nativity of St. John. So you know the Nativity of Jesus. Tonight we'll celebrate the Nativity of St. John. All right. I don't know what's going on up there. Hopefully everything's taken care of. All right. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, memory verse. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. Micah 7, verse 18. All right, let's say our psalm for the week. The section, let's see, I don't know, remember if this is 5th and 6th, maybe, whatever. Zion and Hate from Psalm 119. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your just decrees from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me, that I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your just and righteous decrees. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our first reading today is from the prophet Nahum, chapter 1. God is jealous, and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not all acquit the wicked. Will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the flower of Lebanon wilts. The mountains quake before him. The hills melt, and the earth heaves at his presence, yes, the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Behold, on the mountains, the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace. O Judah, keep your appointed feasts, perform your vows, for the wicked one shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. All right, it's one of my, I want to say it's a peeves. I'd say it's maybe a rant. I don't know what the right word is. I've noticed this since really digging deeper into the scriptures as a seminarian and then as a pastor, that most people have a neutered view of who God is. They think of him as an it and as kind of this force for good. I don't know, maybe in the way of Star Wars or something. But that's not the picture presented in the scriptures. First, he's personal. He, And he does, and he has thoughts, and he has wills, and he has words, right? And he has ways. But not only that, is that the judgment against sin that was rendered, say, in Genesis 3, against, of course, the devil and his angels, but also the creation, but ultimately man, that judgment continues to be rendered out upon those who refuse to hear, those who live contrary to his will and his word, those who set themselves opposed to Christ and his church, right? And in the midst of all of that judgment, we hear that the Lord is good, that he is our stronghold. So as there is fierce wrath being meted out upon this world, upon our culture, upon our people and our nation, because of our rebellion against God and his word, as a people, as a nation, as a world, the Lord himself is a stronghold for us, right? He is a shelter in the day of trouble. And that, of course, is referring to what we're doing here, being in his word, being near Jesus, or where Jesus has promised to be, right? Which is in the preaching and teaching of his word, but also in the sacraments, of course. So we renew our baptism each day, remember our baptism each day, and then certainly receive forgiveness and strength for the journey ahead in his body and blood in the supper, right? So there you hear, we skipped a few verses, behold, on the mountains, the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace, right? So the wicked ones, all the enemies of Christ and his church are being cut off around us, and it is violent, and it is dangerous, I suppose, for us even, in a sense. Yet God continues to send those who preach peace and the forgiveness of sins, which is our shelter in this present darkness. As I listen to the demons on TV, and I think it's right to say that there many of them are demonic, that they are possessed or held captive to demonic teaching, I'm reminded that God is going to bring judgment upon them, right? And he gives them over to their wickedness, and they become increasingly wicked. And that's what we're truly seeing. It's remarkable and it's terrifying, but at the same time, the Lord has not left us without his promise and a place of refuge in him. All right. So, helpful word from the prophet. Now, our reading for catechesis from Luke chapter 9, continuing in verse 46. Then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him and said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all will be great. Now John answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him, because he does not follow with us. But Jesus said to him, do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. All right. To the prophet, of course, we hear Jesus did not come to destroy, but to save, right? And that is his proper work. We talked about this in Bible class on Sunday. His alien work is that destruction that is brought upon the wicked and the enemies of faith of Christ. But the proper work is that they would repent and be saved. So much like we see in many of the stories, God brings his people, even his own people, low. He humiliates them to the point of repentance until they confess and they recognize again their rebellion and then again confess faith in him. All right. So some more catechesis on the text here. The disciples, they're disputing. What are they disputing? The same old dispute, right? You hear it in sports all the time. Who is the greatest of all time, the goat, right? And what is revealed here about Jesus in verse 47? Yeah, that he perceives the thought of their hearts. Huh. What does Jesus do? All right. Here he does a parable in living form, right? He takes a little child and sets him next to him. I love the picture of that I used here for the opening slide, right? These children who are barely wearing anything, of course, because why would they need to, right? Look at this little child. Isn't that beautiful? All right. And he tells them something very important here for faith, I would say. Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me, referring to his father, of course. For he who is least among you will be great. All right, so we have to ask the question. According to the whole Christian confession and all the gifts that the Lord has set before us, how are little children received in the name of Jesus? Or how are you received as a little child? Of course, through the waters of holy baptism. But to you in particular, how are you receiving Jesus in receiving the little child? All right, this is important. How are you receiving Jesus by receiving the little child in baptism? Through baptism, you are rightly confessing that we are united in the body of Christ through the waters which he has consecrated in his word, not by reason, not by strength, not by capacity or wisdom or might or by great deeds, right? But by the Lord's doing. Right? What can a child do? Not much. It's done for him. All right. Now, John comes to him and says to him, Master, what? Somebody had cast out demons in Jesus' name, but they had forbidden him from doing it because he did not follow Jesus. Right? Now, this is connected, of course, to the little child, receiving the little child. How did Jesus respond? Yeah, he told them not to forbid him, the one casting out demons, because he who is not against us is for us. All right? This is not the blasphemous use of this text by George W. Bush. All right? Remember, he was talking about that in regards to the Iraq War, which was and continues to be a blasphemous use of God's word. It's not what it's about. Right? It's talking about faith, receiving Jesus in faith. Okay. What was the other thing I heard? Oh, in the January 6th, quote unquote, hearings, they're not really hearings because there's no opposing interrogation or opposing cross-examination. So it's not even following the rules of a hearing for Congress. But regardless, it was Mike Pence's lawyer. They had him, before he gave his testimony, they had him give a personal note, and they prompted him to tell us, oh, what happened on that day? Something personal, right? Oh, you're a Bible-believing man. And then, oh, I opened my Bible, and I found this Bible verse, and it seems so relevant to the day. And then he narrates how Daniel chapter 6 is talking about, you know, doing your duty even when others are telling you not to or something. Right? It was clearly prompted, and it's really, I think it's a blasphemous use of God's word to justify a political action, and not something done in faith, but something done really just to protect your own skin. But regardless, again, that's how God's word is usually used. So what's going on here? He who is not against us is for us, and it's referring to faith, trust in Jesus. All right. Then they have a turn here, and you can see there's a little bit of a paragraph mark. Verse 51, this is a famous section, Luke 9, 51, Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem. So now the whole narrative is going to shift from here on out, and Jesus is going to be working towards his cross. Pardons for the background noise there. Why did the Samaritans, you see this in verse 52, why did the Samaritans not receive Jesus? Because he had set his face for the journey to Jerusalem. All right. That isn't to say he's abandoning the Samaritans, but he's going to be focused on Jerusalem from here on out. What did Jesus send out? He sends out messengers before him to prepare the way. James and John has a suggestion, even though the Samaritans did not receive these messengers. Oh, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume the people of that city just as Elijah had done, I would presume, of the sacrifice of the altars of Baal and then killing the prophets? Jesus rebukes them, of course. They do not know what spirit they were of, This is much like Peter's confession, get behind me, Satan. Right? Not their vocation to destroy these people, because the Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to save. But how is he going to save them? Through his suffering and death, by his going to Jerusalem, right? All right. So, summary here, maybe beginning with a question. What spirit do you have? What spirit do you have? The disciples had just seen Jesus cast out the evil spirit, but they still argued which of them was the greatest. Jesus set a child before them because the baptized children of God have all received the Spirit of Christ. We are to save children by receiving them into the church through the waters of holy baptism. The least are those who are content to save men's lives by giving them the Spirit of Christ through baptism and the preaching of the gospel. The disciples were not to struggle with one another, but were to rejoice that they shared the name of Jesus that saves, and to rejoice when the devils were cast out. The task of the preachers of the gospel is always to cast out the demons by proclaiming the Christ who did not turn aside from going to Jerusalem, but who let men destroy his life that he might save all men. This is the gospel that marks the true preachers of the Holy Spirit. Again, those who proclaim the Christ who did not turn aside from going to Jerusalem, but who let men destroy his life that he might save all men. That's the spirit of Christ, of baptism, through baptism, through the preaching of gospel, that he saves, right? Good. Now we pray the Lord's Prayer, fifth petition, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that he would give them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. All right, let's sing. Today your mercy calls us.
Today your mercy calls us to wash away our sin. However great our trespass, whatever we have been, however long from mercy our hearts have turned away, your precious blood can wash us and make us clean today. Today your gate is open, and all who enter in shall follow Father's welcome and pardon for their sin. The past shall be forgotten, a present joy be given, a future grace be promised, a glorious crown in heaven. Today our Father calls us, his Holy Spirit waits, his blessed angels gather around the heavenly gates. No question will be asked us how often we have come. Although we oft have wandered, it is our Father's home. O all-embracing mercy, O ever-open door, what should we do without you when heart and eye run o'er? When all things seem against us to drive us to despair, we know one gate is open, one ear will hear our prayer.
right, let us pray. O God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because through the weakness of our mortal nature we can do no good thing, grant us your grace to keep your commandments, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray today for marriage and family, that husbands and wives, parents and children live in ordered harmony according to the Word of God. For parents who must rear their children alone, for our communities and neighborhoods, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray today in Thanksgiving with Alexia, who celebrates her birthday. Pray for Tanya, Ed, and Bev, Paul, Roy, Courtney, and Sam. Pray for those ill, receiving treatment, or recovering, especially Marcella, Bev, Kelsey, Dorothy, Amanda, Dan, Brad, and Janet, Timothy, Pastor Kretschmar, Merlin, and Jim. Pray for our homebound Bev, Willis, Ed, Mickey, and Paul. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially the work of Sheboygan Hispanic Ministry. I pray in intercession that the Lord preserve and increase patience among us. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Oops. There we go. Good to have you with us here today for our congregation of prayer. I invite you to join us this evening at 7 p.m. for divine service as we celebrate the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. All right. And I'm going to be up at the hospital most of the day today so that Anne can come back and play catch up a little bit on her stuff and get a little break, but also help the children, make sure everything is ready to go for us to leave town for a few days. All right, so I'm going to be out of town over the weekend, so not too far, so I'll be able to come back to the hospital as need be, but got other folks coming up to help Anne out as well. So one way or another, it's going to be a busy day, so we'll look forward to seeing you this evening, though, as we end the day in prayer again. Lord's blessings on you, and we'll see you soon. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.